This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher, and the lovely Mary Goulet. You got to start this like chiming in. Just be like, hi, I'm Mary Goulet.
Move over, Steve. Hi, I'm Mary Goulet.
And Rich O'Tea is in the house. What's up, Rich? Running the Blabster, running
the... He's the busiest guy in the house.
You're the busiest guy in the house. We're just over here shooting the shit, and you are just, like, crushing it over there on...
He's a multitasking master.
On social. And so this is the second hour of our first broadcast live on Blab. Well, I think it's going pretty well.
It's awesome.
I think it's going really well. As a matter of fact, the numbers have been going up throughout the show, so thanks, guys, for sharing this with your peeps, and we're going to keep doing this. So this is going to be fun. And there's, like, this thing right in the way here of our special guest with Mr. Brett Gregory. So we're going to... Mr. Brett Gregory, how you doing, man? Welcome.
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. As we were talking on the break, this brings back some really fond memories because I was a host of a talk radio show for about 8 years in San Diego, business talk radio show, where we would interview CEOs of publicly traded companies and presidents of privately held companies in San Diego. And it just, so this brings back a ton of memories. So I'm happy to be
here.
Yeah,
but we're a little scared.
Yeah, CEOs don't come in here because they actually want their businesses to continue thriving. So not to say that this show is the kiss of death, because it's definitely not. But let's just say that a lot of CEOs that we've approached have been like, you know what, guys, good luck with the show. And we'll take a pass.
It's not true at all.
And you want to hear something that is true?
Yes.
All right, I teased this one out last hour, and I've got to talk about this because this is just too damn funny. You can't make this shit up. I mean, really, life is just so much funnier than fiction.
Is this Walmart?
is Walmart. All right.
Okay.
All right. So
here we go.
Yeah, check this out. All right. So on Monday, I got to try to do this without crying, because last time we did Reinventing Names, and if you haven't listened to Reinventing Names, that's a great episode, especially at the end.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. So at the end, we have this woman who really can tell you what your name means, and she's, like, scary accurate with, like, how the letters, she's got something called Namology, Sharon Wyeth. Pretty damn cool.
So check out
Reinventing Names. And, by the way, those who have subscribed, rated, and reviewed the podcast, thank you very much for doing so.
They have to go and listen to that episode.
You have to listen to Reinventing Names. So at the end of the show, all I will do is tell you that the setup is that the name that she defines for us is Harry Dickey, because I grew up with a kid whose name was Stephen Dickey and his dad was Harry.
What she said about that name was so funny. These two.
Oh, God.
Fell
just
off
crying.
Mike.
Crying. Like, literally crying.
I'm laughing so hard, but I'm trying to take us out.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Gosh.
All right, so if you haven't listened to Reinventing Names, check that one out. That's a good quality. All right, so
I can't wait.
Here's where it gets fun. All right, so on Monday, police were called to a Louisiana Walmart under the suspicion that a customer was shoplifting food. According to the complaint, a Walmart worker radioed security about a suspicious woman in the meat aisle. Mm-hmm. Security cameras filmed 33-year-old Shaniqua Johnson. Now, I'm not going to go anywhere with that. This is just, I know a lot of people named Shaniqua. And we'll just leave it at that. So of 33-year-old Shaniqua Johnson shoving sausages under her skirt. Okay.
Oh,
CCTV, which is the closed caption TV, footage then shows the woman walking to the bathroom where she remained for at least 30 minutes. Okay. Seems fair enough. You know, she's just got to take a big shit, whatever it is. You know, you see some sausages, it makes you think, okay, I got to crap. There we go. Well, the male security guard says he knocked on the bathroom door several times, but the woman did not respond. So basically, he then announced that he was entering. You know, okay, I'm coming in. What he found behind the door of the unlocked stall is something that he said will, quote, haunt his dreams forever.
Should I leave the room?
No, don't leave the room, because you got to give us some perspective on, like, why someone would do this. And you're the only woman in the room, and you're totally out, you know, you're outgunned at this point.
Kelly, help me.
Kelly, help you. All right, so the security guard reports that when he entered the stall, Johnson was, which is perfect, Johnson was inappropriately pleasing herself with a Jimmy Dean package of sausage.
Oh, boy.
He said that when he entered, quote, she didn't even stop. She just stared at me and kept going.
Oh, my God.
Shocked and
Where
also...
Where was this published?
This is in Louisiana. So
this?
Shocked and also frightened for his safety due to the fact that Johnson is, quote, a big girl. The 140-pound security guard said he ran out until police arrived. When they did, female officers entered the restroom with Johnson still, quote, putting in work with the sausage. All in all, it took 7 police officers to restrain Johnson and pry. And pry the victimized sausage out of the woman's hands.
We have sunk to a new.
Oh man! All right. So
with the Walmart stories.
So the moral of the story is basically, if you're a Jimmy Dean sausage and you're positioned on a Walmart shelf somewhere,
watch out!
Watch out! You got to be concerned for your safety. All right, so
where do we go with that?
You go lots of places with that. Of course, as you go straight to it gets better because
they're asking on Blab if she unwrapped it or not.
Oh man! So here's the thing. So here's what I'm picturing. So you've got like lots of Jimmy Dean sausages, right? So you've got, of course, you've got the small little breakfast links. Then you've got like the sort of the longish like Italian sausage type thingies, and then you've got that big fat. Like baseball bat sized, sort of like a tube of sausage. That's what I want to know. My hunch, given it was Shaniqua Johnson and she's a big girl, I'm thinking she went straight for the tube. A hunch. I'd say we take a bet on that.
Yeah. Can we go back to Halloween costumes?
Go back to Halloween costumes. We don't go
from
back
the
to
last
Halloween.
Show.
We don't go back to Halloween costumes.
No.
But here's what we do. We go to the best study ever created.
This
is the study.
You teased that in the last show.
All right, so this is the best study ever created, and this is the one that men have been waiting for forever, okay? Because now when you tell your woman that it's like, well, I'll just read you the story. All right, so here we go. So basically, this was published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior. You coughed me out. That's cool.
I'm so sorry. I thought that was my cough switch.
I would have coughed me out, too.
Yours is right there.
Oh, yeah. That
you
was
you killed the cough switch. Thanks for that.
That was awesome. I only do that when I hear sausage stories. Okay.
So this was published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, which, of course, if it's published in the Archives of Sexual Behavior, you know it's got to be true, okay? So here's basically what happens. Now, here's the best way to put it. Oral sex is good for women's health, okay?
True.
It's been proven. And
right.
It makes you feel...
That wasn't a true or false questionnaire.
And it makes you feel happier, ladies, because according to a study which looked at the effects of semen's mood-altering chemicals, it absolutely makes you ladies happier. So the State University of New York, and of course, if I'm going somewhere for a study, I am going to the study with the State University of New York, which is basically like 4 guys. Right. It's like 4 guys sitting around and like,
it's not NYU.
Right? We need to publish a study. What do you think we should do? Here's what we're going to do. So basically, she was in this sample group as well. But scientists carried out the survey rather than through practical experiment because, of course, it's probably going to be one of those things where, like, by the way, did you ever hear the stories of like the cops who bust like the massage parlors? That's the best because like they go in there and they're like, an officer reported that on this day, that and the other, basically they kind of run through the scenario. And of course, they have to make sure that in order to complete their findings that they go through the whole process. So and at the end, she X, Y, and Z'd. And of course, we had to go back a second, a third, and a fourth time to make sure it just wasn't
just
a one-off.
Just to make sure it was legit.
Just to make sure it wasn't a one-off experience. All right, so basically what this says is that it shows that seminal fluid contains chemicals that elevate mood, increase affection, induce sleep, and also contain at least 3 antidepressants. See?
There you go.
We're going to put Wellbutrin out of business.
Yeah, screw Wellbutrin.
Screw Wellbutrin, screw Chanix or whatever that one is.
Xanax
or whatever that fun stuff is. Yeah, because ultimately, the researchers also claim that the women who have regular unprotected sex, so not only oral, which of course lifts their mood and makes them happier, but if they have regular unprotected sex, they are less depressed and they perform better on cognitive tests. So here's what I'm thinking. So Rich and I talked about this before the show. And basically what we're going to do.
You did not warn me, Rich.
Yeah. Rich didn't know this was coming either.
I don't know what's coming.
Get it? Rich didn't know it was coming.
Oh, yeah, you're
sorry. Funny. We'll be here all day.
Yeah,
all right. At least for the next hour anyway. So Rich and I are going to do this. So we're going to create a company because ultimately when women, you know, just have this going on where they have unprotected sex and have seminal fluid working with them, they perform better on cognitive tests. So what Rich and I discussed is we're going to create a company where basically we're going to hire a bunch of men. And we're going to hire a bunch of men to stand outside. Like you said, you had that real estate test, right? That real estate exam kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, so if you wanted to perform really well on that test, well, this is one of the surefire ways to make sure that you perform. So we're thinking we'll just get a whole bunch of like really hot guys and we are going to put them outside of all of these areas where cognitive, so like the ACT, the SAT, the bar, the CPA exam. I mean, I think we've got a real business on our hands here. And think about it, you know, for a couple hundred bucks, we can help you do better on your test. And of course, we're not going to pay the guys. The guys are going to be like, you don't have to pay me. Just like, so I'm thinking like, forget about like the cheap child labor, you know, forget about the cheap child labor and all that fun stuff. We're just going to go get grown ass men to do this because of course it benefits you ladies.
Yes,
if it's done.
It's so thoughtful.
What do you think?
It's thoughtful.
See,
sounds like George Costanza.
See, on Reinvention Radio here, we are always thinking about how we can help our listeners.
I
think this works out best for everyone because, of course, the men, well, we believe that we are actually helping you. And if you listen to Lisa Marie Jenkins in the Gender Equity Program, which is Reinventing Gender Equity, by the way, she'll tell you that women want to be on equal footing with men as, you know, you go across the board there. So in this case, I'm just thinking that the equal footing is basically on their knees. So as long as that's the equal footing, then
I'm potting you down.
You're potting me down.
You just take us out of this segment.
You take me out of that segment. All right, so there we go. All right, so
moral
of the story is Jimmy Dean Sausage and...
I'm calling her back in.
You're calling. That's what we should do. Get Shaniqua Johnson on the show. You got to see the picture.
She'll
all right,
beat the crap out of Wayne.
Right, for those who are listening right now, and of course that's the dumbest thing I could ever say. Just Google Shaniqua Johnson. All right, more with Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What? Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, y'all. I have been warned.
That's right.
Oh man, I'm just glad like you didn't have like an extra belt around because like you know like that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna buy you like a Steve Ulcher slapping belt. So like when I'm just like out of line, you're just gonna go and grab the belt and just like whack.
So
then I'll know like I'm just like way out of context.
So my friend went, I don't know where she was, Minnesota or whatnot, and she bought these little like.
Jimmy
dolls.
Dean sausages?
No.
No, sorry.
But it's
over
it's
the
a,
line. Whack.
It's fabric around the shape of a person, and it's called the Damn It Doll. So every time
like
and you, and if you're mad, you just hit it.
I like that.
And you just like, arg. So I'm going to bring that in.
You're going to bring that in.
Because it's
nice.
Just long enough to whack you.
I know. For future episodes, you will see Steve Ulcher like on that side of the table. Actually, it's funny because when we first started, I was on that side of the table, and then we got
then
closer.
Then you missed
then
me.
Then we got closer. All right. Very cool. All right. So Brett Gregory's in the house, and you can see Brett. He's the handsomer of the two there on the right side. If you're
that.
Watching here on Blab, and I'll let you decide which one is which. All right, so Brett, do tell. So you're based in the San Diego area. So obviously you came in to join us today live, which is awesome. So thank you for doing that. But tell everybody just a wee little bit about you for those who don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I'm Brett Gregory, and super excited to be here. As we were talking a little bit before, I had done a talk radio show for a long time in San Diego. So just sort of the evolution of how I got to where I am today. My business now is called Attract Customers Now, and we help entrepreneurs get customers from social media, Facebook, show them how to monetize that, turn that into real paying customers, and ultimately how to make six figures working from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And the evolution of that, you know, I wasn't always on Facebook. And in fact, I was a suit and tie guy for a long time. Mm. And that's back when I was in San Diego. I was a financial advisor, you know, which is a code for saying I sold life insurance. Mm. And I was horrible at it. I was awful at selling life insurance. And I very quickly found out that I started right out of college trying to sell life insurance, and it was just miserable and the worst job ever, you know, cold calling and knocking on doors and driving all over the place and trying to get people to buy life insurance. Mm-hmm. And I was terrible at it. I hated it. But what I found out is that I was very good at getting into corporations. Hmm. And I just sort of had a knack for calling on corporations and getting in the door. And so I very quickly transitioned out of life insurance and transitioned into doing corporate 401k plans. And then I started and that just took off. Mm. Like I just did well in that area. And then I started my own business about 4 years into it, and then grew that to about $100 million under management.
Nice.
And then I was able to sell that company in 2007.
Oh, so you branched off on your own. So you stopped selling life insurance for others as an independent contractor, and you basically started your own thing.
You got it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
How does that translate, by the way? I'm always wondering, because like all those companies talk about like dollars under management, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
that's sort of the terminology that you hear.
Yeah.
How does that translate generally in terms of like if you want to exit, like if you're in that financial services industry and you want to exit and you have, let's just say, $100 million under management, how would an acquirer value that? How does that work exactly?
They're buying your book.
Yeah, they're buying your book of business, but it depends on a ton of factors. But if you know, you could just generally say as a financial advisor, you might be paid anywhere on that book of business anywhere from, you know, 0.5%. I mean, it could be down to 25 basis points to about 1%. And and so it can vary widely. But in the 401k world, it's going to be more like 0.5% or a little bit less. And that creates an income stream. So on $100 million, that's $500,000 a year. Mm. And that's the book of business that they buy. And so you value it, you know, like 1x earnings, 2x earnings, 3x earnings. And at the time, the going rate was like 2x earnings, 2.5x earnings, that kind
of
thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. Okay,
very
so
smart.
But something happened in your personal life, and it really threw you for a loop.
Yeah, it was a big, big change. And so, and in fact, the reason why I sold my business, in January of 2006, my brother Eric, who was 34 years old, was unfortunately diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And he was given 9 months to live. And and that was actually an accurate diagnosis of the amount of time that he had left. And as a family, you know, we were able to take care of him. We were able to actually make that the best year of his life. But after he passed away, you know, that just completely rocked my world, because my whole world was about making money. And we were good at it. We were good at making money for our clients. We were good at making money for ourselves. But that's it. There was this, you know, emptiness because everything was revolved around making money. And after he passed away, I just said, you know, screw this. I tore off my suit and tie. I sold the business and moved down to Costa Rica, and I bought a 164-acre primary rainforest, 5 waterfalls, had its own farm. I literally sold the business and bought the farm.
Ah,
I actually did that, and that was in
much smarter than Matt Damon, by the way, who bought the zoo. So, you know, it's like, yeah, much smarter.
So at that point, you know, everything was great. I sold my business. I had a couple $1 million. I moved to Costa Rica, literally bought a rainforest, 5 waterfalls, whitewater ocean views, to start a wellness community so that anybody who wanted to could go down to Costa Rica and heal to the best of their body's abilities and not have to go through what my family went through, watching a loved one suffer. And and so, you know, at the time, everything was great. I just bought this property. Now, we bought a $3 million piece of property with $2 million down. So I had to come up with another $1 million. And of course, I purchased the property in 2007. And happened in 2008, if anybody remembers?
So basically, just so I'm getting this right, even the rainforest gets caught up in the cycles of real estate.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing, right? You would think that the rainforest would just continually hold its value. But, you know, I guess those, what do they call them? Like the species. What do they call those species that are like on their way to being extinct?
Oh, there's the endangered list.
The endangered list. Yeah. So exactly. So even the endangered species on the rainforest can't do anything as far as value is concerned. So now we know.
Yeah, what a journey. So then what happened?
Yeah, so then at the point of the global financial crisis, I had 12 months to come up with $1 million or I was going to lose everything.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, talk about being, you know, terrified. Every day I was terrified that I was going to lose $2 million, everything that I'd worked so hard for, and not be able to realize the dream. And so I was trying to do everything. All traditional marketing avenues were not working. So we were trying to find customers. There were no banks. There were no lenders. There was nobody in 2008 that was going to lend money on a real estate development like this at all, anywhere. And so we had to come up with customers and investors. And so what I did is I said, okay, I've got 164 acres. I'm going to segregate some of this, and I'm going to cut up 7 large lots, and we're going to sell these lots for, you know, between 100 and 200 grand a piece so that we can raise the money. Normally what you do in a situation like that is you go to brokers and you try and find their leads, or you know, we were putting ads in, International Living Magazine, on the, you know, New York Times, and all this, all the normal traditional marketing activities, and nothing was working. Mm-hmm. You know, Google pay-per-clicks, even hired a team out of India to do SEO. Nothing was working at all. But then something interesting happened. So in 2008, 2009, Facebook hit 600 million users. And I looked at that and I said to myself, you know what? I only need 7.
There
you go. I'm going to spend 12 hours a day. I'm going to do whatever it takes to go and get those customers to find us on Facebook. And I made every mistake that you could possibly make out there. And, you know, we made all the mistakes on the ads. We made all the mistakes on the pages. And then after all of this trial and error, I stumbled on one success. I started posting photos on a particular page that I had created called Costa Rica. And that became what you had seen on our website called the Photo Album Stack. It's mm-hmm. very simple, just a different way of putting photos on your Facebook page. And in a fairly short period of time, we grew 200,000 followers.
Wow.
And we have the largest Costa Rica Facebook page in the world. And we then drove traffic to our website, and we built a very small email list. By today's standards, it was only 2,500 people. Really small email list. Out of the 2,500 people, we got 20 people to fly down to Costa Rica to check out the property.
Wow.
From Europe,
nice.
Canada, and the United States. And we made 7 sales for a total of $1.5 million. We saved the property, saved the business.
You know, isn't it interesting how financial stress and having your back against the wall makes you extremely creative?
Or depressed.
You know what? You cannot succumb.
I was both.
Right? Yeah. You can have a low-level, you know, grade of depression and fear, like crazy fear, but you got to keep going.
I had high-level depression and high-level fear. Does that count?
Wow.
All at the same time.
No, I get it.
Yeah, I was motivated.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, what the chart would look like on that. So, like, if depression is, like, here and, like, fear is here, and, like, you were, like, that, I guess, basically.
Oh,
like,
all the way at the end.
But you're lucky
levels.
You didn't go into inertia.
Inertia.
Like sometimes people get depressed under stress. They can't move.
Oh, yeah. And I'm the opposite. I move
so
faster.
Am I.
Yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running from the tiger.
Yeah. I mean, and that's sort of similar to, like, what do they call it? Vertigo, right? So inertia, vertigo, it's all the same. You kind of get dizzy. That's what you're talking about. So when you're, like, really stressed, you get dizzy. Just say what you mean. That's what you're
Whatever.
Saying. No, that's not what you mean. All right, fine. So now it's 8 months, 8 years later, basically.
Years.
Wow.
Right.
So where is the Costa Rica property development at now? And we are going to be taking a break here shortly.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Just kind of give us a brief overview, and then we can revisit it after break.
Yeah. Well, we're seeking investors. We're trying to bring on investors right now. We're trying to raise $41 million to actually build the whole thing out of the ground. And the thing that I find that I get so excited now is we've developed over 2.4 million followers on Facebook across a couple of different pages, and I'm really interested in taking an online community and turning it into a physical community.
Nice.
And actually realizing a dream and raising the money and actually making it happen. So that's exciting to me.
Yeah, cool. And that'll be really interesting, because what I want to make sure we do here is give people an understanding of where you're at. Basically, this was a, I guess it was, if you will, it was out of necessity. I mean, you had
totally
to figure out, and just like Mary was saying, I mean, that back was against the wall. One of the things that you did, obviously, was just say, hey, Facebook is going to be huge, which takes awesome vision.
Yes.
And let's talk more about Facebook and how to leverage the power of their one-odd billion, you know, users.
Yeah. There's still time and room for the next person to
Yeah, for sure. All right, after the break here on Reinvention Radio.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio here with Brett Gregory in the Hish.
Hey, so glad to be here.
Yeah, yeah, man. Of AttractCustomersNow.com, and that's that the main site, or do you want people to go elsewhere also?
That's the main site, AttractCustomersNow.com.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Mary Goulet and Rich Rattay in the house and holding down Blab. And are we periscoping today? We're not periscoping today, are we?
No.
We're not. All right, we're going to have to figure
that out. He's not doing enough already?
You know what? We're going to have to figure that out. Well, yeah, I know.
He's doing great.
Yeah, we're going to have to just get like, like a social media real-time something. We're going to have to come up with like a creative name for that person. Basically so we can get an intern. That's what I'm saying. You've got to come up with a creative name so we can get somebody for free. That's the plan here. All right. So
I want to learn.
Yeah, I know. And that's the only reason I think you come in here. It's like, I will endure the first 12-minute segment with Steve Ulcher so that I can learn for the rest of the hour. That's the only reason why you're here. I get it. All right. So, Brett, before the break, we were talking about some serious numbers, man. Did you say 200? No. What did you say? 2 million?
Of followers
on how many different pages?
That's across three pages on Facebook.
Just three. What are those pages?
So our first page is it's just called Costa Rica. So if you go to facebook.com/ Costa Rica Views, VIEWS. I think we're approaching about 600,000 fans on that one. And that was the first page. That's kind of where it all started. And that's how we, off of that page, we got traffic that we drove to our website that resulted in the 1.5 million in sales.
Wow.
And then, after that happened, I had a lot of friends start to ask me, hey, can you do that for us? How did you do it? And I wanted to make sure I could replicate it first. Mm-hmm. And so then I made another Facebook page called Yoga. And that's also facebook.com/ Costa Rica Yoga. And let me see how many fans we're up to today. 1.357 million.
Holy forking. Really? Yeah. That's a lot of fans. What's the third page?
And then the third page is, as I was going through this, I wanted to make sure that this was a system that I could replicate because sure, it works for a page called Costa Rica, but that's pretty well known. Yoga is pretty well known. Can it work for a page with my name as a, you know, coach, speaker, author, that kind of thing? And so I created a page called Brett Gregory, and that's facebook.com/ like Brett with one T. And then we've got over 250,000 fans on that one, 250,000 fans.
Well, I want to hang out with him.
and you are right now.
I know, but it's limited.
We're going to have to ask some serious questions here so we can get to the answers that we're looking for. And one of the questions that I have is, let's talk about content, right? Because 1.3 odd million who like Costa Rica yoga, okay, great. You know, 600,000 that like Costa Rica, okay, great. What does that do for you if you own that page, right? Because a lot of people talk about, well, we use the page for content, but we also use it for promotion. And so talk about the balance of content versus promotion and how you use those. obviously you use those as case studies, which helps you then with other, you know, potential clients here. But at the same token, like you said, I mean, it's Costa Rica. People love Costa Rica. It's yoga. People love yoga. How would you do that specifically, like for Facebook.com/Mary Goulet?
Sure.
Right? I mean, so talk about content versus promotion. And then does it translate? Obviously, it translated for you, but would it translate for someone like me or Mary or Rich or any of us?
Sure. Well, let me step back and break apart a couple of the pieces of the question that you asked there. First thing is, there is a misconception out of the marketplace that likes equal customers, and it does not. It does not. And so, like, for example, with 200,000 Costa Rica Facebook fans, we only got 7 customers. Mm. Now, who cares? Because we made $1.5 million in sales. You know,
that was a $200,000 sale. Yeah, most people are selling like $7 tripwires.
Yeah, it's not like you don't buy that with one click. So but again, if you look at the number of customers versus the number of likes, or at the time they were fans, you know, it was minuscule. It was a very, very small fraction of a percent. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that's important to recognize. And that's pretty much stable across any industry. We don't see many, you would normally see a page that has like less than 1% of their likes have actually become paying customers. And of course, there's always an exception to every rule out
there. But they also get like sort of disengaged too. I mean, like, I've hit like on pages that I don't think I've ever visited again.
Sure.
Right? So,
yeah.
So that's got to be a part of it as well.
Yeah. So actually, and when I started this in 2008, 2009, it was kind of like the Wild West on Facebook, because you could start a page, you could get likes, and almost every post that you did was shown to all the people who had liked your page. And then Facebook started doing ads, and then they kind of wisened up and they said, okay, if you want your fans to see your stuff, we're going to make you pay for it. Mm-hmm. Either it's got to be super viral on its own, meaning mm-hmm. it's got to be fantastic content that everybody wants to see and share anyway, or it's got to be paid.
Yeah.
And so then I started focusing on the former there. I started focusing on what is it about the content that gets shared virally. And I had been focusing on this and working on this stuff for, you know, over 8 years and studying it in detail. And I ran across this interesting paper written by a professor of marketing out of Wharton in 2000. Well, it was only about 4 years ago or something.
So that wasn't the American study of New York or whatever.
I knew that was going to come up. I just knew it. It's like, there's an opening.
By the way, we hit a nerve here, because something happened on Blab where, like, literally our numbers just skyrocketed. So, like, I think this whole conversation around Facebook, or maybe Rich is actually like,
they're coming for the sausage.
They're coming for the sausage. Exactly. So
don't join that team, Rich.
Right. So, by the way, Brett, like, if you have a thought, you need to write it down, because clearly I'm going to send you in a different direction in the middle of your thoughts.
I can handle it.
You'll go sideways and come right back.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the professor, her name was Professor Kathleen Milkman. So professor of marketing at the Wharton School of Business.
I'm sorry, did you say Milkman?
I did.
Nice.
Just and carrying the theme. She did a study where she studied over 7,000 New York Times posts to see if she could figure out, by analyzing them, what was it that made some posts go crazy viral when the overwhelming majority of posts don't go viral at all. And what she discovered was very interesting. She discovered that the posts that go most viral have a very positive valence. So valence is just a fancy way of saying it's either very negatively emotionally charged or positively emotional charged. So the ones that went viral were very positively emotionally charged,
sure.
But it didn't end there. So if you think of a scale, you know, going from right to left, negative to positive, and then there was another scale going up to down, going from low emotional intensity to high emotional intensity. And what she discovered is those posts that went very viral were also they had a high emotional intensity. And so essentially, if you make a plus, it's the ones that live in the upper right-hand quadrant that go most viral. So the very basic formula for the posts that go most viral are they have very positive emotion and very high emotional charge. Hmm. And so then I kept studying this, and I tried to figure out, okay, so that's really interesting. What is it? And then I would always see some post that would go what I call super viral. They would have over 100,000 likes, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know,
cats.
Facebook, Twitter, Twitter, whatever.
Cat post.
Yeah.
Or baby laughing.
Yeah, well, this is interesting. And what I discovered was there's a formula for super viral posts. Because pretty much every super viral post...
Wait, I got it. It's a baby with a cat doing yoga in Costa Rica. That's got to be it, no?
But the baby's laughing.
Where's the boobs?
Close. And,
right, exactly. Breastfeeding at the same time, yes.
Close, but it turned out that when you looked and analyzed that every post that went well over 100,000, almost to a T, they all went like this. They all were positive stories, and they could be photos or videos, of people doing selfless acts of love, kindness, generosity, or even heroism. Mm-hmm. And almost without fail, the ones that went super viral were like that. And that then got me thinking and asking a very interesting question, or just a fundamental question, is why that content? Why do people care about that kind of content so much that hundreds of thousands of people want to click the share button? Turns out the answer is very interesting. And the reason why is because people share content that represents the way we want to be perceived. We share content as humans. We share content that represents the way we want to be perceived. So that's why if you do a post on your Facebook page that says, come join my seminar, nobody shares it. Nobody comments on it. Nobody likes it. If you share a photo about something that you did that was a act of kindness, love, and generosity, it'll probably be the most viral post that you do. Mm-hmm. And that led me to ask the further fundamental question, well, why is that? So why do we share? Why do we want to be perceived this way? And the answer is actually stemmed in evolution, interestingly enough. So it turns out that being perceived this way, we are trying to move up in social status. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, let's roll the evolutionary clock back about 20,000 years ago to when we're budding Homo sapiens and hunter-gatherer societies, and we say, you're at the top of the social status. Maybe you're high priestess, you're the shaman, you're the chief, whatever.
You've got the biggest club.
You've got the biggest club, and you're at the top of social status. You have the best chance of getting water, food, shelter, finding a mate, and reproducing and passing along your genes. What if you're on the low end of the social status, or worst of all, you get kicked out of the tribe? What are your odds of survival?
That would be my lineage, by the way. If you go up the bloodline, that's my lineage.
But somehow
right there,
you made it. But your odds of survival are very low if you're at the lower end of social status. So it turns out that through evolution, trying to move up in social status is actually a survival technique. It's a technique that actually allows us to reproduce our genes. And so then I said, okay, well, that's really interesting. So it turns out that people will share content that helps us move up in social status. And we don't do it consciously. It's actually totally subconsciously. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I can talk about a whole what happens inside the brain that makes us do this, because it's pretty interesting.
That's going to be like way over my head.
Yeah.
So just draw the stick figures. I'll be fine.
But what's really fascinating is that we are pre-programmed to share this kind of content. And I'll tell you how to use it when we come back from the break to
awesome.
Make your
Spoken
content
Spoken like
go
a
viral.
Regular right? radio host.
Awesome. More with Brett Gregory here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And by the way, thanks,
my timing's
guys.
All over the place.
Yeah, your time is great. by the way, thanks, guys. I told you before I wasn't feeling 100%. Like, basically, until I swallow, I'm fine. But when I swallow, I want to cry. But you didn't tell me. I mean, Jesus, I look like hell. You guys, I like went in the bathroom. I was like, holy fuck, who is that guy?
The lighting is different. That's making you glow.
And here's what I know that I didn't know before. Blab.
Yeah.
Adds 10 pounds, just so you know.
I know
so,
that.
So if you're on Blab, I'm
well aware.
Yeah, so we're going to have to wear, like, yes, black with, like, patterns or something, because Blab adds 10 pounds.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, very cool. So, again, thanks for joining us here on Reinvention Radio.
At least we don't have my stalker on here.
Is he gone?
My Periscope stalker?
The one who said you have a nice rack. Yes, that one.
Say that.
Yeah, sorry. And I think, actually, now that I remember, you were wearing that exact same shirt.
I was wearing this exact same top.
All right, so if you're just joining us, thanks so much for tuning into the madness known here as Reinvention Radio.
Short segment, so I'm not going to say one more word and let him talk.
All right, fine. I will let our experts
speak. He's going to tell us how. He's going to give us how-tos.
Can I ask a question?
Make it snappy.
All right. So before the break, we were talking all about Facebook fun stuff and how basically to balance content versus promotion versus how you get people engaged and all of that other fun stuff that goes hand in hand that most of us, frankly, don't have a clue about. Did you finish up what you were teaching there, or can we shift to another question?
Yeah, well, right when we moved out or went out to commercial, I was going to share with what you do with that information and how do you get your content to go most viral. And what we discovered is because people share content that represents the way they want to be perceived, and the content, the super viral content formula is stories with selfless acts of love, kindness, generosity, that sort of thing. The likelihood is that somewhere, if you're listening to this, somewhere in your life, every single day, you probably do some kind of act of love, kindness, and generosity.
Yeah.
And that is it. I said listening to this, not a host.
Yeah, I got you.
So the likelihood is that every day you do something within your life that is kind, generous, thoughtful to others. That is exactly what you should be posting on your business Facebook page. And this is counterintuitive. A lot of people get...
Yeah, it's like boasting.
No, not at all. In fact, just imagine, you know, if I read to my daughter this morning and I shared that, you know, I was reading to my daughter and I'm going to encourage other people to read to their children too. Or I decided today I'm going to say hi to the homeless person on the side of the street that I've passed several times before going to work, you know, or anything like that. And you probably do stuff like this every single day. You just don't notice it, or you don't think that it's post-worthy, when in fact that is the most post-worthy thing that you can put on your Facebook page. It's the most viral thing that you can put on your Facebook page. And interestingly, by doing that, you will attract people who you share values with to your business through Facebook.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So one of the questions that I have, because a lot of people talk about, you know, I've got 3 million followers, I've got, you know, this, that, or the other. And Rich and I have had this conversation numerous times. And a lot of the folks who have those sort of followings, they don't monetize it in any meaningful way. Mm-hmm. So even if you have a small fan page, I mean, like, I think my fan page is like 3,500 fans. And I don't know why you would hit like on my page to begin with, but for the 35 odd hundred people who did, thank you for your insanity in joining me. And like you said, you attract people who are like you. So there you go. There's 3,500 other nut bags out there. But how do you take something from... Thank you, Mary. From a follower to an actual customer without being like this prick who's just sort of like, buy my shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I read Gary Vaynerchuk's book, you know, Jab, 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 Right Hook. And I met him and I heard him speak. And one of the things he said is that if I could rename that book, it would be Give, 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 Ask. Mm-hmm. And what he meant by that is if you're doing posts on your Facebook page and you want to keep people engaged, you want to give, give, give. And one of the things that I try to do like 8 or 9 give posts for every ask post.
So an example of a give post is here's a pretty picture of somebody doing yoga in Costa Rica.
Well, maybe on the Costa Rica page, but let's talk, or on the yoga page, but let's talk about like on my business Facebook page.
The Brett Gregory page.
I'm going to be posting, you know, 6, 7, 8 times I'll be posting encouragement, you know, we'll do a lot of posts where it's a like encouragement kind of meme, so it's just big words on a pretty picture, but it's actually encouraging people, or it's these selfless acts of love and kindness and generosity. We'll do that 8 times before we do one post where we say, hey, you know, we also have this webinar coming up where we're going to teach you some cool stuff, which that's sort of a give and an ask, because we are going to be asking for your email address to sign up for the webinar. But it's you've built up that equity and that
trust
with people, and they know that you're really trying to do good in the world, and that's why they follow you.
But it's not in one day.
Correct. No, we usually do only about one post a day.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've heard people say all sorts of things like, you know, you gotta be posting every hour and that sort of thing. And what we've found after doing this for 8 years is it's so much better to just take 15 minutes and do one thoughtful post once a day than to try and do all this fancy stuff and post planner and all this kind of stuff, and just do one good solid give post where you're talking about the selfless act of love or kindness that you did that day. Post it, encourage others to do the same, and you know, do that every day throughout the week, and then you have one post where you say, all right, we got a webinar coming up, come join us.
So a question off of the Blabble sphere. Chuck's asking, are you posting content or just pics? And I assume he means like memes. So how are you balancing those two?
Great question. Yeah. So I do.
Chuck's a really smart guy, by the way.
I do encouraging kind of content, generally speaking, where I'm encouraging other people to do the same thing. And, you know, a lot of the business kind of marketing coaching that we're doing is also helping people, you know, get up out of their stuff and get moving and get actually implementing. So that's part of the posts that we're doing, is really encouraging people to move forward, to be good to other people, and then also to get up and get going.
Yeah.
And then so we'll try to do like 6 or 7 of those once a day, and then we'll have one post where we say, all right, I created this great video that teaches you how to do marketing on Facebook. You can opt in here for free and come and check it out.
All right, let me get to this, because we're running here on the end of the show, and I've got a really important question to ask you. No, this is a legit one. I know that look.
Trust him.
No, you can trust me.
You can turn on a dime.
No, this is a good one. This is an actual legit question. And by the way, one last time, because this will probably take us out to the break, but one last time, how do people find out more information about you? Because we can only cover so much here on Reinvention Radio.
Sure.
Where do they go?
You can go to attractcustomersnow.com. And actually, one thing, I do have a free gift.
Okay, please. Absolutely.
For me.
What we did is, I went through our 3 pages. We have a total of 2.4 million fans, and I curated my top 15 all-time most viral posts.
Nice.
And I put them in a template that people can download for free.
Sweet. Where do they go for that?
So you go to www.profitfbads.com. That's profit, like the word profit, FB, like Facebook, ads, plural, A-D-S, profitfbads.com.
Nice.
And enter in your email, and you can download for free the top 15 all-time most viral post template.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks very much for that gift, and I hope everybody takes advantage of that. Serious question, because you've experienced this. 60 seconds to go here. If you had 9 months to live, like your brother, what would you be doing the next 9 months?
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, I know. That's why I only wanted to give you 60 seconds, but you're top of mind here.
I appreciate that. Yeah, well, you know, I've been blessed to have a amazing family. I've got an amazing wife and 2 beautiful, healthy children. And, you know, spending time with them has been the most important thing that I've done in my life. And that's actually why I'm in the business that I'm in, to be able to spend more time with them and to be able to help other people. And so, you know, it would just be doing more of what I've been doing for a while and hanging out with the family, taking care of my kids, enjoying them. And
that's an awesome answer.
All about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brett, just an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate you coming in studio here
to join
us.
I love your energy. This was so much fun.
Thanks, man. And this is me sick, by the way. So, man. All right. Well, next time we will talk to you on Reinvention Radio. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.